This is our podcast. What? I don't even know what episode number we're on.
Yeah,
we're
you just jumped right into this.
Keeper
you
of the numbers, Andrew. Keeper of the numbers, Andrew.
God, what episode is this? This is 112.
That is correct. You
no,
dumb.
This is 113, isn't it?
112, dum-dum.
Dum-dum.
112.
Dum-dum.
Dum-dum. I'm Patrick Schmaltz, the dum-dum. The keeper of the numbers is Andrew Schmaltz. Hello, Andrew.
That's me. Hi, I'm a keeper of numbers.
The keeper of the syndrome is Christopher.
I currently wear the title of Syndrome. That is
syndrome.
An accurate statement.
Syndrome!
Chris Schmaltz in the
Chris
house.
Schmaltz. We're Syndroming. Brothers for Geeks. We talk about geeky things. We also make fun of each other and talk over each other a lot. So here we are. You know what's weird about this episode?
When they deserve it. See, the theme of this episode is that I give shit to them because they constantly deserve it.
Title this episode,
they do not
deserve it.
They do not measure up to the high standards that we demand and our listeners demand. And so I have to remind them of that every frickin'
Thank you so
episode.
Much for keeping us.
We, and we appreciate it. You're diligent. Shoving your fist up our asses.
Whoa!
Not unnoticed.
That is not an image that we needed to put out into the world.
Full on
the internet.
Full on like anal insertion. Up the butt.
This is a family podcast. Stop
family
it.
Family podcast. Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Mom.
And I don't do that at all to my brothers.
Not metaphorically at all.
I just remind them of the standards that this podcast is built upon.
As a good, you know, quality control person should do.
Exactly.
You know what's weird about this podcast?
Tell me.
It's a regular episode. We're doing a regular one.
When's the last time we did a regular episode?
We're just going to talk
months?
About whatever we damn well want. So prepare.
Episode.
We are.
We've been on a roll with one shots and.
Yeah, we were doing. I mean, the one shots are fun. It has been months.
Yeah.
It has been months. Well, there is one thing that we will talk about. We'll probably wait till after. I don't know. We'll warn you. But we're going to talk about The Golden Compass, chapters 1 through 5. If you haven't read The Golden Compass, chapters 1 through 5, we will warn you to skip ahead at some point.
But our previous episode, we told everyone that we were going to be reading chapters 1 through 5.
And hopefully you read it with us. And you're going
episode,
to listen along.
This episode, we're going to be telling people the next chapters that we are going to read. So
yeah. Okay. Okay. First off, who did all their reading? Did everybody do their homework?
Me.
Good. Yeah. Good. Okay. I actually read too much. So
I read past our.
I read to six. I read to six, but we should try to cap it at five. I don't know. Maybe there's listeners that haven't read past five.
I think that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a lot to talk about. What do we want to talk about?
On? How was your 30-day shoot, Patrick?
Oh, it's over. We kind of talked about that already. Yeah, it's over. I had a rap party.
Did the two huge stars of your show up to the rap party?
Your best friends now? Are you best friends now?
Yeah, we're basically best friends.
I was going to say.
The two huge stars, Dave Franco and Alison Brie, were at the rap party. I had a wonderful moment with them making fun of the rap gift.
What was the rap gift?
Not making fun of the rap gift, but I can't go into detail, but the rap gift they were cool with. They just had a funny moment that we were making fun of someone else about.
Yeah.
They'll know what I'm talking about if they listen to this podcast. I know they won't, but
did you tell them about the podcast? Did
no,
you
why would I plug that? It? No, I'm no, why would I do that? There is
you gotta rub
why
elbows.
Would you do that? You seriously said that out loud.
Yeah,
why would you
all we need is Alison Brie to tweet about us once.
I'm really bad at that.
I feel cheap. It feels
not,
cheap.
It's
we
not...
should get it there on our own merit, brothers. On our own merit. Okay?
That is our own merit. She won't tweet about if she listens to us and she hates us, she'll tweet about that. If she listens to us and she loves us, she'll tweet about that. We're not like saying, hey, Alison, it'd be really great if you tweeted about us.
If it came about organically,
that's it. That's it. That's all I'm saying, dude. If you get to know them, you're close enough, and you're talking about sort of what do you do, and she asks the questions, and blah blah blah, and they're
I
do this.
My favorite thing to do is a self-promoter like that.
If someone asks me, I'll tell them, but I'm not gonna just like, because it just feels cheap. Feels
shameless self-promotion.
Shameless. Feels shame.
It's not something you're proud of.
Okay. What was the wrap gift?
This is not something you're proud of.
Is that what you're saying?
What we do at this podcast is cheap and not worthy of bringing up to your
this
best.
This is my least favorite thing we do. I never want to do this. They have some blackmail on me, so I have to keep doing this.
It's true. I know all of Patrick's dirty little picadillos.
I'm not the one who's like,
that's some inside baseball that you listeners of episode 112 just got.
Whoa, 112. That's in the secret episode. You find out about my
54.
Episode 54. Our greatest episode ever.
Greatest episode ever.
I know what dirt they have on me.
Yep, it's in that episode. It's brought up. That's exactly right.
Sure
go
is.
Go find it and listen.
Hold on. So we got to make sure that we tell people when we're recording this on June 11th, 2019.
Sure are. Good job.
Yep.
Good job, host.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Whoa.
Well done. No.
It wasn't directed at you. I know.
That was directed at Craig.
That comment was directed Thanks, Craig.
Now recording.
Now recording.
Who's been paying attention to E3 and all podcast. The shit that's been going on?
I have been, yes.
Ooh, kind of a weak E3. Can I be straight with that?
Yeah. Why do you think it's weak?
There's not a lot that I'm really excited. Nah, there's not a lot that I've been blown away with. Last E3, I was blown away by a lot of things. I was really excited about a lot of stuff, a lot of cool announcements.
Probably Fallout 76, which dropped like a freaking stone as soon as it came out.
I bought three games in a row that were weak sauce. Fallout 76, I really liked Anthem, but it hasn't drawn me back in a while. And
Anthem has some core excellent elements, but
Division 2's weak sauce, man.
Did you actually play Division 2?
I played the beta, and I was like, ooh, this is about the same, and it's not as good. I might buy it.
For this E3, so the big announcement for me that I'm really excited about, because I am a Halo guy, my fondest memories of gaming are me and Christopher playing Halo 1 together, co-op, split screen.
Until like 3 in the morning.
And the three of us having LAN parties, playing Halo 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. So much fun.
Listener, Sean, bringing my tube television over to...
Oh, my God. I love that.
Carrying the tube television in the back of my car.
Yeah.
I still have that D-Link switch that we used.
Yes. Oh, my God. That was so fun.
That was so awesome.
It was so awesome. Anyway, yep. Halo was embedded deep in the podcast. Yeah.
Halo Infinite.
So they're doing it. So I'll be straight with you, Andrew. Like, I really love Halo when Bungie was making it, and I was really disappointed by the last Halo. So I'm kind of meh about this Halo being 343. Everybody's really in love with 343, but like...
No, dude. I'm on the same page as you. Halo 5 was a little weak sauce. 343 Industries made Halo 4, which I thought was a lot of fun. Mm. I liked Halo 4.
Yeah.
It was okay.
I didn't like Halo 5 had lots of elements that were not good.
4 and 5 were pretty disappointing. I'll tell you.
I liked 4. I thought they moved the story forward in an interesting way. They kind of picked it up with they launched the Xbox One with Halo 4. And then Halo 5, I think, is a kind of sad middle chapter for what seems like another trilogy of the Halo universe. But Halo Infinite is going to be the launch title for the next Xbox, which they're calling Project Scarlet right now.
But it's just like another one, right? Like, you'll be able to play with me in similar games. It's just your system is going to look better.
Well, it's coming out for the current Xbox ones.
Right.
Also.
I thought it was a launch title for Halo. No.
I think it's
a launch title, but also being made for all current systems.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's going to be overlap too. Like, it's an upgraded like system, but they're all using the same servers. They're using, it's not like a next gen title. It's not like a next gen console. Like, it's just,
isn't it going to be the next gen console for Microsoft?
What are you talking about? Did you read the specs on it?
No.
Then what? You're talking out your ass.
You're talking out your ass.
Good, talking out my ass.
That's how unenthusiastic he is about.
This is what Chris is here for, to make sure we don't talk out our ass.
I mean, basically. So yeah, good. That was the
broke Christopher. Do you hear him?
He can't even. He's just giggling. He's just a giggle monster now.
All right.
Good.
So yeah, Halo Infinite. There's like a 4-minute kind of basically a short film that they premiered at E3 where they kind of announce. It kind of gives you the idea of where the Halo story picks up again. You're playing as the Master Chief. The chatter on the internet that I liked is they're kind of taking a step back from the armor design of the last two Halo games and like putting him back towards the kind of the classic look of the Chief.
Obviously. Even more important than the aesthetics is that it's much more focused on Master Chief.
Yes. Halo 5 suffered.
That was the failure of Halo 5, was the switching back and forth and story, blah, blah, blah. This one is you are smoking fools as Master Chief.
Yeah, which has always been the most fun of all the Halo games. Absolutely. So I was excited to hear that.
I played a shit ton of multiplayer Halo 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
The most fun I've had in multiplayer, well, I mean, aside from sniper battles with my brothers.
Oh, my God. Those 20-minute sniper battles where none of us move.
Unbelievable. In Blood Gulch. Those were epic gaming moments of my life, sniper
battles. Seriously. Yeah. If we had been able to capture those,
you're just running along, everything's fine, it's quiet, you're in the middle of nowhere, and boom, you're dead! Your head is gone!
Your head is a canoe.
When we're taunting each other, it's like, come on, dude, poke your head out, turn your head into a canoe, come on! And then we try to, like, shift and move. Such good times. Yeah, oh my gosh, we get it, somebody gets impatient.
There were some epic kills, right? Because you could go all the way almost from one base to the other in Blood Gulch.
Yep.
You can see just in the epic shots that Patrick, we have to admit, made most of the
He
epic
did.
Thank shots. You.
Patrick was a sniper, 100%.
He was a sniper, but I was pretty good with it, and Andrew, you were good with it too. And so
towards the end, I started to get pretty good.
Yeah. And so we would do the wait, and whoever got impatient was the person who got lit up first.
Exactly. We played a 15, and the games would take seriously 30 minutes.
Like, they
would be so fun.
So fun.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Anyway, they need a return to that.
Yeah, always. I mean, I think we're always trying to recapture those kind of moments when Halo Games comes out because we had so much fun playing those games.
And I love the universe and the stories and the conflict and the concepts. All of it is cool. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. And Patrick, do any of us have the Switch?
Chris has a Switch, doesn't he?
I do not.
Okay.
I've been thinking about getting a Switch. My old roommate had one, so I played Breath of the Wild a little bit, but finished it.
I have heard they announced a sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Saw that.
Oh yeah.
And
dude,
I have legitimately
that game is legit good. Like
know people that have legit called it the best game they've ever played.
Yeah, it's I never got deep enough into it, but like, dude, it's probably like top 10 ever made.
Yeah.
Like it's like that level of good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's Zelda, which is an all-time classic for Nintendo. Yeah.
No, the story is so good and the gameplay isn't just perfect. It just plays exactly how you want it to. And the control and all the dungeons are so amazing. And yeah, dude, it's like, If I bought a Switch today, I would go get Breath of the Wild.
Well, that's kind of the joke that people make.
I would get Breath of the Wild and I would get Mario Kart.
Exactly. Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart, and I would buy Diablo 3 for the third time in my life.
Tyler and Katarina, they have the Switch. And he showed me. He showed me Diablo, and it looks freaking amazing.
I remember him. I remember him. Yeah, it's when I have some disposable income, I think I want to try to
get a
Switch and play. Well, I mean,
there's a couple of things on. There's some $200 things on my list that are ahead of that, like three.
Oh, I agree. Ahead of that.
And it doesn't really, it hasn't really come down in price. It started at $300. It's been
still so in demand because it's such a great system.
And we're also getting into that period of, okay, the next version is coming out. Do we wait? We're kind of in that in between.
Yeah.
So
I would guess
the dilemma for me always about, okay, do I wait for version 2?
Yeah.
Or do I get it now?
Well, hey, Nintendo, for all of the, if there's ever a strike against Nintendo, it's the fact that they make systems that can be kind of disposable because they're not kind of the most powerful up-to-date things that you'll, I mean, they don't advertise the fact that you'll be able to, you know, play games at 60 frames per second or whatever, 120 frames per second eventually. So eventually there will be a Switch that'll be like a sequel to the Switch where it'll be updated hardware.
Yeah, but I don't think that I don't think their business model is disposability because people.
Oh yeah, quote unquote disposable.
Yeah, I mean it's the people who are buying their stuff are parents for their kids, stuff like that, and so it's not going to be at $200 that price point. It's not really disposable. Maybe if it was $99, that'd be. Yeah. Or closer to disposable hardware.
But I think the point of you can keep an Xbox for 5 years. I don't think you can keep a Switch for 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, my Xbox is 5 years old and it still runs like a song. Does a Switch last as long as an Xbox?
I don't know. It hasn't been out that long.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, how long did the Wii kind of last in terms of all of its capabilities? A while, because it was such like a breakthrough with like
the Wii was
motion gaming. It was so fun.
The Wii U is what failed.
Yeah, that thing dropped like a stone.
Something that's become like my favorite publisher lately, Ubisoft, kind of didn't really announce very much.
I saw their whole, they had like a symphony that played like selections of music. Did you see that? Selections of music from the game. And then they're going on tour, like they're doing a full-blown symphony tour. Of an immersive experience where it's a live symphony and then it's sequences from all their games.
Cool.
Pretty cool idea.
That is kind of a cool idea. It's kind of like, I mean, you'll hear a story. I've never been to one, but you go and you watch like a Harry Potter movie or like Star Wars and the symphony plays
Lord
the
of
tracks.
The Rings,
yeah. Yeah. Lord of the Rings. Exactly.
Lord of the Rings did one like that.
That would be kind of fun to see just pretty as an cool experience. Yeah. I mean, diehard fans are the ones that'll go to something like that.
Yeah, sure. So I was hoping they were going to announce the sequel to Assassin's Creed, which is rumored to be a Viking-based Assassin's Creed, which is like
incredible. That'd be fun.
Exactly. And I loved Odyssey and like a Viking-based Assassin's Creed where you're like a Viking ship and you're sailing around the...
That might get me to get one.
I have never played an Assassin's Creed.
Odyssey is fantastic.
Yeah.
It is so much fun. Holy crap. Yeah. I love all that Greek lore and stuff.
Ancient Greek mythology is
but
dope.
But that game is long. Like, for you to beat the game, you have to play like 200 hours. It's insane.
Whoa.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's maybe not that much. Maybe like 50. But like seriously, like it's long. It's not a quick game. But pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean they've been making I just actually read on their website that Division 2 is going to be free to play from the 13th to the 16th, which is this weekend.
Huh.
So if you want to try Division 2, they're probably trying to get people to play it cuz I feel their numbers are probably low.
But, yeah, Destiny did the same thing right before Destiny 2. They made free to play for like a weekend or
they're
something.
They're supposed to go like completely free, right? Or are
I
they
saw
just
that announcement. Yeah,
they made a big Bungie made a big announcement because they're no longer partnered with
Activision.
Mm-hmm. They're going to publish the game themselves. So basically Destiny 2 Year 1 will be free to download, like so the base game and then I think the expansion through Warmind I think that technically is considered year one. Will be free to download starting in September. And then the next big expansion called Shadowkeep, where it'll be in, you know, new campaign, new strikes, new raid, new loot, new everything. Take us back to the moon. You can buy that as like a standalone. So no longer having like season passes. You'll just buy the game in the chunks that you want, and the base game will be free.
I have to tell you, I've been playing a ton of Destiny the last 4 or 5 days. I'm doing the Season of Opulence stuff.
Oh yeah.
And it's, that game remains some of the best shooting and feel of any game I've played ever. It's really fun to shoot.
I mean that's game. Kind of, these developers are making good games. Like Anthem is a good game. Dude, Destiny is a good game. Like, it's just the content they're missing. Something's not quite
well.
There,
I, you know? this latest season, there's tons of content.
Yeah,
grind
there's
away
so much
at.
To do. Yeah,
it's been really fun. And my character, I hadn't played Destiny in a long time. My character was woefully low, and in less than a week, I'm up to almost 700 power.
Oh wow! Okay, so okay. They made the grind a little more kind of.
Yep. Reasonable.
Yep, yeah. Yep. It's good.
I mean, yeah, I haven't booted up that game in months, but
yeah,
I'm like connected in because I've, you know, I watch streamers play it, and I'm connected into kind of the Twitter. You know, I follow people that are invested in the game, so I eventually will go back to it. But for some reason, I just haven't wanted to play a lot of video games lately, so I haven't, except to watch Netflix. I haven't been booting up my Xbox that much.
I've been working on other geeky stuff, like finishing my chainmail finally.
Oh my god! After 12 years,
yeah.
How close are you to being done?
Not at all, but I'm.
Dude, did I ever tell
you? You finish the shirt, you got to go with the pants, dude.
Well, no. So like, I'm gonna go to like, you know, I'm gonna go to like your scrote area, you know, and then I'm gonna, and then once I go to there, I'm gonna start doing sleeves, and then I probably, like, once I'm done with the sleeves, I'll continue down so that like, so it fans out, you know, it has like a V to the knees, like it's gonna have like a kind of a skirt to it. I'm gonna make this legit AF.
Is this
planning
is this,
on fighting some medieval sword battles anytime soon?
I just went to a Ren fair over the weekend.
I was just about to say, you got inspired again.
I got inspired, and I was like, man. Dude, I gotta finish this thing. I was talking to Michael about it. I was like, dude. He's like, whatever happened to that thing? And I was like, I never finished it. He's like, you gotta finish it, man.
Like, yeah. So it's the beginning of your full ensemble that you're going to put
this
together.
This is the beginning. I was thinking about
Renfest.
All I need is to finish this. And then I'll get a tabard to go over it, and then I'm good. All I need is pants and some boots, and I'm solid.
There you go.
But then I need to get like sword, and then I need to get like helmet, and then like cloak, and then like shoulders, maybe, you know, and like gauntlets. Then I'm good.
Yeah, you need all that.
I need all that. But this is the beginning. This is the baseline. Finish this.
It'll be good, especially if you get attacked.
Yes.
Yeah. Did I ever? I mean, after you move out of that, out of the condo when we lived together, and you worked on that shit like every day for months, I was finding little half clipped ringlets all over the place for months after you moved out, just because
those were little presents for you.
There were so many.
I didn't want you to forget me.
I appreciate that.
So yeah. Not a lot of video games lately, but
there's been some movies though.
Oh, did you guys see Dark Phoenix?
Yes.
Did Andrew? Andrew. Uh oh.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Oh,
you dropped out.
I couldn't hear the both of you. Okay.
Oh. Okay. Did you see Dark Phoenix?
I have not seen Dark Phoenix.
Bum, bum, bum. Well. Should we,
Chris?
Chris,
I have seen it.
Okay, you guys can talk about it. I'm honestly, I am not like
clamoring for it.
Yeah, I did
honestly,
not have it.
I mean, without, let's try to do a spoiler free thing so we don't have to like warn anybody, but like, what do you think, Christopher? What was your thought on Dark Phoenix?
I thought it was much better than reviews had suggested that it was going to be. Okay.
Correct.
I was pleased.
Yes.
It's better than Apocalypse for sure.
Ooh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'll give you that.
And it is, you know, it's not great.
No,
but it it has elements of a solid sort of less actiony.
Yeah, there's some moments movie. That are
there's
slow.
Definitely some good set pieces.
Yeah,
there's definitely some cool like power usage. There's some interesting dynamics among the X-Men and Charles mm-hmm. Xavier and mm-hmm. all of that, which I found to be interesting.
Lots of like really good like tough choices.
Yes,
Charles Xavier has made some tough choices, and now we're seeing.
And he's made mistakes, yes. And those are exposed right? and talked about.
He's not
about,
perfect.
And,
yeah, this is a little more like it's a little more nuanced than another. Like, it's not terrible. People are making it out to be really bad. It's not great, but it's not terrible at all. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's a okay. beat. It's a B in my view.
It's a B. You're right. It, yep. Maybe a B minus, but yeah. Definitely a B.
I mean, this is the okay. I mean, this is the end of 20th Century Fox, and
this
their
is what I'm saying though. This is the last X-Men movie.
Run. Do you guys have a favorite? I mean, without the easiest one to say Logan. Is obviously Logan. I mean, Logan's
by
one of
far
the
best.
You guys like Logan the best. I did not like Logan the best.
Okay. Do you have another
Logan
one that you like
number
better?
One,
are we talking
one.
Are we talking all X-Men movies, or are we talking like the reboot?
No, every X, it's all the same universe, dude. It's just different timelines.
All X-Men centric movies.
These are my favorite in order. Top 3, I would say X2 is the best.
Okay.
And then Days of Future Past is my second favorite.
Yeah.
And then probably Logan third. Logan gets third.
I think I would probably choose those three. I would just reorder it. I think Logan's the best. And yeah. I think Days of Future Past edges out X2 for me just
Dude,
a little bit.
X2 is so, it's like a perfect movie. It's so solid.
I don't disagree. X2 is great, but I think that Days of Future Past does it just a little bit better.
Mm.
And then, yeah, I think
are
X2
we counting
is
Deadpool
me.
Movies in this list
no.
too? He technically is in the same universe.
He is in this, yeah, but I don't think he can.
Deadpool is his Colossus.
Deadpool is his only own category.
I love Colossus. He was always my favorite character when I was a kid, and so I love Colossus in those movies. The best.
They get him perfectly.
Yeah, who was your favorite X-Men growing up reading comics?
Definitely Colossus.
Colossus.
Yeah. Andrews Wolverine. Was pretty basic Wolverine.
I know, it was so obvious to say Wolverine. Yeah. I think so. I think I was kind of a basic bitch when it came to X-Men. I just love Wolverine. He was such a badass. I was telling this story to a coworker.
I think I'm Wolverine too. I think.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I was telling the story to a coworker of mine today or yesterday about my favorite. Cyclops is annoying. The 1990s, the early 1990s X-Men animated series.
Oh yeah, so good, dude.
That shit was freaking awesome.
Yeah,
I loved that. So the Wolverine was a total badass. He was mouthy. You know, he growled. He was.
You know who's my second favorite? Honestly, because she's so powerful, and they like in the comics. I want like even as a kid, I wanted her to be like. Like I just wanted her to murder fools because she could. Like Jean Grey.
Jean Grey
can murder people.
I was gonna say that she's my number two. That I had and read that Dark Phoenix, everything Phoenix related. I absolutely loved those stories.
What was that? Chris Claremont? The Chris Claremont X-Men in like the 80s and 90s.
You guys just fucked my trivia question.
Oh shit!
Damn it! I was going to ask you who the writer was of the Dark Phoenix saga.
Boom. Yeah. We're nerds.
I own those. Yeah.
Do you really?
So yeah. good.
That's Dark, awesome.
It's like the, what's the name? The Hellfire Club. Oh, that stuff is so good.
Good stuff.
I mean, and like the new, what was First Class was kind of a little bit. It had the Hellfire Club guys in it, so I liked that. First Class was not perfect at all, but
there, I liked First Class a lot. And if there was a villain, I really liked Kevin Bacon as Sebastian Shaw.
So good.
If you look back at that movie, Kevin Bacon is really good as Sebastian Shaw.
Dude, that movie is so dark, and all the Kevin Bacon Magneto stuff.
Fassbender
lurking fools.
Fassbender is so good. Fassbender a chance in Days of Future Past.
And he's not throughout this latest movie Dark Phoenix, but man, I love him as an actor.
He's so good.
Magneto murks fools in this movie too. He goes off, dude.
Yep. He doesn't hold back. I love that about this. Yeah. His portrayal of Magneto is
kind of a darker movie. I mean, they kind of went a darker stint after Logan was successful. Yep. It's kind of like the subject matter of
you know, Jean Grey, and it's, you know, the trauma of her life, and they have to. They can't kind of make it a fun, light movie. Right. They just can't.
And they handle that origin stuff for her. Really powerful.
It's really good. You know what it is, Christopher? Let me say this to you. Do you think I think it's because the villains are kind of meh. I don't want to ruin much.
That's always the downfall. We've talked about this every superhero movie we talk about.
If the villains were more on point, I think it would have been a better movie.
I agree.
They were pretty weak.
I care about the X-Men. Yeah. And I care about them in conflict. And I want that conflict to be awesome. It was like,
just kind of throwaway nothing villains. Yep.
It was a bummer.
I think that's what it is. And if they had something a little like we're talking about Kevin Bacon and Days of Future Past is exactly right. It's like he's a great villain.
Days of Magneto
in First Class.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're exactly right. Well, and think about my recollection of the Dark Phoenix saga. I mean, Phoenix is a villain, yes, but there's differing factions in terms of how to deal with the Phoenix and her power.
She's being manipulated. Her power is beyond. It's not just Jean Grey. We're worried about Jean Grey, it's a complicated story. It's not just like Phoenix is the villain. She's obviously in the middle of this conflict, but
she is. Well, that's my point. It's from the Dark Phoenix saga, and even like, is it the Shi'ar Empire like get word of her power, and they decide that she has to die?
Not even like mentioned in this.
When they announced that Jessica Chastain was going to be in this movie, the internet went alive with theories that she was going to play Lilandra, which would have been so fun.
They should have done that.
She is such a great character. Yes.
But I think it's
that
would have
been more nuanced and interesting.
I think it's a product of we're not going to throw a ton of money at this.
Yeah, I can see that,
dude. It's over. I mean, the Fox X-Men movies are over. We have no idea what Marvel's going to do with this. Like, are they going to do something with it? They own all this stuff. They own Fantastic Four. They own X-Men.
Why wouldn't they?
The X-Men is an awesome property to have. That's why Disney bought them, dude, so they could use them
going forward in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yep.
The greatest thing that's going to come to the Marvel Cinematic Universe is Dr. Effing Doom.
100%, dude. I'm clamoring for a movie with
Who cares
Doom?
About anything else? Dr.
Doom,
is
a villain?
Universe.
Oh, my God.
Cool. Yeah, if they could finally get Doom right against the event, everybody's speculating that Cole, the Kang the Conqueror, the, you know, the time traveling guy from the future.
They need to go back simpler.
I hope not. I would love to see Doom be the next big villain in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That'd be dope.
Inject him into the universe and let, I mean, they kept Wakanda. Inject Latveria into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's how you introduce the Fantastic Four. They're just part of it, you know?
And he is We talk about villains all the time. He is in the pantheon of absolute all-time best Marvel villains.
Yes. Yep. It's like Doctor Doom, Kingpin, and Thanos, and Galactus. They have Galactus now too. Do a bitchin' Galactus movie? Oh my god, that'd be incredible.
Awesome.
I mean, they prove they can pretty much pull anything off. I mean, they did the fucking decimation with the Infinity Stones. They can pull off Galactus as this entity that eats planets.
He just shows up, and the Avengers have to fight him. And
I think Galactus is kind of boring, though. He's interesting. Kind of boring.
If they figure out a way to make it interesting and fun,
He's a one note, but they got to find some like nuance to him.
Yeah, Doom. Seeing Doom, you know, would be incredible.
If you want to like Galactus more, Christopher, you need to read Earth X, this series of books that came out years ago.
Yeah.
And really, really good story. I can't remember the writer, but the Earth X storyline really makes you appreciate Galactus a lot more. Very, very good book.
I grew up loving Silver Surfer, so Silver Surfer part of all of that.
This book takes place in an alternate future. Iron Man's old, Captain America's old, like this is like the next generation of heroes, and it's kind of like the Kingdom Come of the Marvel Universe. And it's very freaking good. The first book is really good. They did a bunch of them, but Earth X is fantastic.
Cool.
But what should we talk about? Golden Compass? We should talk about Golden Compass.
Let's talk about Golden Compass, the first five chapters.
So we're gonna talk about this for the next like 10-15 minutes. If you haven't read the first five chapters, go read it and come back. Or if you don't care about spoilers, just listen on and here we are.
Yeah.
Really interesting book, really bizarrely written, but captivating, right?
I have started this book before, and I am glad that I'm picking it up again.
Yeah.
I never finished it. I watched the garbage movie they made a few years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not entirely garbage. There are parts of it that are done well. I like the design of the world.
Mm-hmm.
The actress who actually played Lyra, I felt like they got her pretty in terms of what I've read in the book, you know, kind of her attitude and her manner. The movie kind of got that right. So it's not entirely garbage, but
here's my thought on why the movie's garbage and why the book, like, I don't, and I have these questions about the book too. Is this a kid's book? It's the main character is a kid, child.
I don't think
it's
so.
It's kind of like a Harry Potter-esque.
That's how it was marketed.
It's kind of like a darker
turn. Totally marketed it for young teens.
It's a Harry Potter young adult novel.
Just like Harry Potter has dark shit going on, this has some dark shit going on.
This has some dark shit going on. Well,
having read these books multiple times, you have no clue, dude.
Yeah, I'm sucked in, and I love the world. I mean, obviously there's going to be much more revealed throughout the books in terms of world building, I'm sure. But
let's focus on the first five chapters.
Yeah, okay, let's do that. Well, we meet Lyra Balakwa. She's 11, 12 years old. She's an orphan. And she's being raised in a place called Jordan College in Oxford, England.
In what appears to be based upon the references in some sort of alternate Earth.
It is an alternate Earth.
What period does this take place? Do they ever say?
There's no televisions. They don't talk about the internet.
The movie kind of makes it look like.
Don't talk about the movie, dude.
Right, exactly. Is that ever they're talking about expeditions to the North? Like they talk about.
I think
if
we had to make an equivalent for our timeline, I get the impression that it's kind of late Victorian, kind of the great age of English explorers. So, like, to give it a timeline,
but with electricity and Zeppelin,
So it's kind of like
20s
steampunky, steampunky 1920s,
20s and 30s kind of era, 10s, 20s, 30s around that time, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and the singular thing that definitely tells us this is not our world is that every human has an entity that is their familiar, that
a
called
demon.
A demon.
Demons attached to them.
It's like their soul being outside their body or something a little bit, or
clearly
their consciousness
connected to them.
Clearly connected to them, but their own entity. Like they talk to it and it interacts with them, and
it reacts to how the human is reacting to stuff too. It's like when it's scared, it reacts different ways, and
the human feels it when the demon is in pain.
Yes.
Or yes. So
that was a vivid
connection.
When you're a kid, it can change into different stuff, but then different animal forms. But they like even they said dragon. They can her demon turns into a dragon.
Mini dragon, yeah.
It seems to be a mark, at least what I'm getting right now, a mark of maturing into adulthood as your demon
like is locked
picks
in.
A fixed form.
Yeah.
And they've alluded to this, like there's a servant class in the college where she lives, and the servant class, all of their demons are dogs, like they're pack animals, or they've settled into a role as, you know, a pack animal or something. That's at least the impression that I got. We meet one of the most important characters. We only meet him for really one or two chapters. Lord Asriel, who is Lyra's uncle, and he's an explorer of the north and a scientist. And a powerful figure in this world.
And like the master of this college tries to murder him.
Yeah. Tries to poison him.
Yeah. It's a complicated what I love about the first five chapters is it wastes no time in setting up this unbelievably complicated universe.
It's so complicated.
It's so dense.
Five
so dense. There's
so
many variables and moving parts.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and because, there's clearly the point I was getting to is Lord Asriel's demon has the form of a snow leopard.
Yeah.
Which clearly indicates that Lord Asriel is very dangerous, very powerful, and has this kind of strikingly powerful demon image that is with him everywhere.
Yep. Yep.
So, I mean, you immediately get the sense that this guy is not to be fucked with.
Yeah.
But somebody tries to murder him in the first chapter.
And would have succeeded had she not been in the room.
Right,
exactly.
Right. She immediately is involved in this whole storyline. There's hints. I'm not sure if it's chapter one or chapter two. There's hints of like the master talking to the lead librarian about she's going to get involved no matter what. Like she has a destiny or something along those lines. Like
she is clearly. Well, I mean, we know
why. She's like this little girl. We have no idea.
Through the first couple chapters, we learn about her life at Jordan College. She plays with the children. Her education is kind of scattershot. It seems as though she was left at Jordan College for safekeeping.
Right.
But she really, because she's an orphan.
Yeah, her parents.
But
they talked about her parents dying, but I'm not sure what they
said. She's clearly an important enough person that she can be left at a college where... or, you know, a place of learning or research where they just accept the fact that she's there and they need to take care of her.
They take care of her. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end of the first five chapters, two major things I think we can point out happen lots of stuff is going on. We learn that there are children all over this version of England that are being kidnapped. And it's kind of a known thing in the world that these children are being kidnapped by.
Especially among the class of people from which these kids are being taken.
The servant and the gypsy class.
Yeah, are they, what do they call them? Egyptians?
Gypsies.
Are they Egyptians or are they like Romani? That's my question.
I think there's some kind of... they're
but
kind of
like
an amalgamation.
King,
they're like,
there's like kings and queens in them too. She was like she met the queen of the Egyptians or something, but she was just a person on the street, you know.
Yeah, there's definitely like a power structure that exists in this community. I think you're right on in the terms of like Romani, like kind of this nomadic kind of subculture that exists in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be mostly on boats, so they're like on the rivers of this.
You know,
of this Europe and England. So
that's at least in chapter five, right? She meets up with them in chapter five.
Yeah.
Right.
And they go on their ship.
She spends like one chapter with what's her name? The like lady who's kidnapping kids.
Mrs. Coulter.
Mrs. Coulter with the golden ape.
Yes. Golden little monkey.
And then who's evil.
She is clearly
representative of the inner workings of Mrs. Coulter for sure.
Right, right. And as formidable as we feel
Lord Asriel is, Mrs. Coulter is just as formidable.
I love these books because all of these folks are complicated. She is clearly not a one note sort of villain, but she's clearly a powerful figure in all of this.
Party
people defer to her.
Yep.
Talk about her with respect. People that are in the magisterium talk about her with respect.
Oh yeah. We're five chapters in and they're already talking about the magisterium and we're already like led to believe that we've already have like the answer of like the gobblers are like the group that are taking children and it might be funded by the government. You know, it's like, involved in the government are kidnapping children. Like, what the F?
Yeah, no, there's some sinister shit happening.
There is the appearance of, for sure, some sinister shit. So.
Well, and think about, skip over, I mean, Lyra is the master of Jordan College, who previously tried to kill Lord Asriel, but has been tried to kill Lord Asriel, and Lyra prevented the murder. He doesn't know this, but he presents Lyra with this talisman, this Ilithiometer.
Which we don't really know what it does yet.
Yeah.
We don't.
She has fiddled with it a little bit, but it describes
it just has a bunch of symbols and hands on it.
Yeah.
But it is clearly some kind of mechanism, and he describes it as something that points towards truth or tells the truth.
Yes.
And she'll have to figure out heart for herself.
Why would he give her this?
Exactly.
It's so complicated. Like, he tries to kill this guy, and he sends her along with Mrs. Coulter, who's clearly evil too. But
has her own agenda.
Yeah.
I mean, she's doing something probably bad with kids, but we're not. Yeah. It's not clear exactly what.
It's not
she's
clear.
Doing.
Yeah.
She has a role in whatever's happening.
She really does. He even mentioned, the master of Jordan even mentions that he couldn't prevent Mrs. Coulter from taking Lyra and like taking her from Jordan and like taking her.
He's like giving her something so that she's, you know, not without defenses. Is that
maybe?
Probably. Yeah. And there's clearly the suggestion that Coulter has power.
Yeah.
Cannot resist.
Well, and there was a really interesting image and something that I read just a little bit ago of how Lyra reacts to when Mrs. Coulter is angry.
Mm.
Lyra can like smell a hot metallic smell in the air. Mm. And I don't know whether or not that's just the child's interpretation of how Mrs. Coulter, like, her imposing kind of anger or focus or, you know, kind of how Lyra feels afraid, but it definitely,
is that the Ilithiometer doing
something? Oh no, I think
no, that's coming from Mrs. Coulter.
Mrs. Coulter. Like she had, it seems for me that there is definitely overtones of magic in this world. Certainly. So there's a supernatural element to things.
They talk about dust. We haven't even mentioned dust.
Which is some kind of substance in this world.
I have no idea what the hell it is.
But it clearly is important.
Kids have more or less?
Less of it.
They have less of it.
Yeah.
And like they don't know why. And we don't even know what the hell dust is. But like everybody reacts really like crazy to Lyra when she talks about dust.
It's
like, so how do you know about dust, little kid? Like, what are you talking about?
So there's this but I love how the author
God, there's so much in five.
There's so much in five chapters.
It's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. Pullman is great. Pullman is great.
The writing is simple, but also ultra complicated.
Ultra complicated.
It's so
really, really good.
Good. It's really good.
Yeah. It is. So I'm So can we?
I love this. I love this book.
That's part of the reason why I love the whole series. Listening because I was enamored. Like I'm also the Audible version of this. Each character is voiced by a different person.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Unusual.
There's a narrator who like tells you the in-between stuff, but then Lyra is an actress. You know, Mrs. Coulter is an actress. Like
that changes. The whole,
like Lord Asriel's is an actor. It's like, whoa, okay, shit. It's like a stage play. I'm listening to a stage play.
No, that's really cool. Actually,
it's pretty cool.
I have Christopher bought me this trilogy for Christmas years ago, and I cracked, and I've had them sitting on my shelf, and they're beautiful books. But I'm enjoying. I love reading books, but that sounds like a totally different experience.
Totally different.
You know, that's you're crazy. Listening to a stage play. It sounds great.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah,
and very fun to listen to, and I'm enjoying it thoroughly. So,
and we are way early.
Yeah, we're less than 100 pages
so
into the first
early.
Book.
Yeah. I'm really excited. So, any final thoughts? Anything?
Well,
else?
let's talk about what we're gonna. I'd say are we gonna finish part one?
What chapter does part one go to?
Chapter 9 titled The Spies.
Yes.
That's the end of part 1.
So we should just read 6 to 9 then.
Basically 6 to 9 will be
We will finish 9.
Yeah, finish 9. So part 1 is what we'll get through.
So if you're listening along and you're reading along, that's where we're going to for next episode.
Six to nine.
Cool.
Yeah, if you ruin my trivia, it's awesome though.
Yeah.
And if you guys have any of our listeners that are reading along with us, and you have thoughts on the book, tweet at us. Send us an email.
You should email Andrew at King of the North 52 for trivia and book advice, or you can email us brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Brothers_geek at twitter.com, Brothers Geek Podcast on Facebook, and brothersgeek.com. Anything else, brothers?
Absolutely not.
Great.
Super great. Not just great, super great.
Super great.